You are listening to The Obscure Gentleman, a weekly pop cultural nostalgia podcast. I am your host, Aaron A. Alvarez.
And I'm Alex Mitchell, your co-host.
Voice things voiced. Here's what's happening. You're either listening to this the traditional way, which is iTunes, Android, Google Play, all that, or on the site itself. Or you're one of these new people who are listening to it on YouTube. So starting now, for the first week, it will be available exclusively to our patrons, these episodes. Oh. Uncut, uncensored, unedited, the full entire thing. So sometimes these episodes, which normally run a little under an hour to an hour, could end up being like an hour and a half or 2 hours, because sometimes we cut a lot. And so for the first week, patrons get exclusive rights to listen to this, and then after that, it'll be public on our YouTube page, and you'll be able to hear The Obscure Gentleman in all its glory, completely unedited, without any really bells and whistles, the raw footage that you've been asking for, I guess.
Someone's been asking for it.
So go to our Patreon, patreon.com/obscuregentleman, and if you want in on that early, just, you know, become a patron. but for $1, yeah, you get access to pinups, behind-the-scenes stuff, early comics, things like that. And so before we start the show, I'd like to thank a few patrons, actually.
Okay.
So certain patrons, once they reach a certain level, they get thanked. So go to our website. You're also on our About page. For now, special thanks to Stephen Butkus.
Yes, my pal from high school. Actually,
from life?
Elementary
school. Or you could just say your pal from life.
No, like, I've known him that, like,
no, since elementary school. No, I know, but he's your pal from life.
Yeah, he is my... He's a real-life pal. And thank you so much, dude.
Scott Ashlock, one of our longest-running patrons. Thank you, Scott. Hannah, also thanks. Megan, thank you. Rachel Percy. This cool lady from Ireland.
Thank you.
Pretty cool Mad Max patron shit, the Mad Max comic. Pretty awesome. And Lisa X, another awesome patron that is a friend of the show, and she's on Twitter and all that stuff. Yeah. So thank you, you guys, for supporting The Obscure Gentleman.
And anyone wondering, yes, my friend is related to the football guy.
Dick Butkus.
Yes.
That's the whole Patreon thing. And so, like I said with this show, if you're listening to it on iTunes, then... You know, do that. Leave reviews, please. Leave reviews. subscribe. So we thank you for listening. And now let's jump right into it.
Back together again, eh? Let's play.
I'm going in. Cover me, Porkins.
I'm right with you, Red 3.
But I don't want to be a pirate.
Looks like Daddy's bringing home the barbecue.
These donuts are great.
I'd buy that for $1.
Oh! Dodson. Dodson, we've got Dodson here!
You don't know what hard times are, Daddy!
All we had to do was follow the damn train, CJ!
It was me all along, Austin!
No! No!
So, going to Adam West, though, he passed away recently from leukemia.
Yeah.
He was 88 years old, he lived a pretty good and long life. He was arguably most known for playing Batman. That was...
Yeah.
In the 60s.
And if you're a younger listener, you probably best know him
as Family Guy.
Yeah, as the mayor from Family Guy.
Literally
Mayor Adam West.
Yeah, I mean, he had other parts and stuff, other roles, you know.
And a lot of them were Batman parodies.
Yeah, I mean, he was in Pete and Pete also.
Was he?
Yeah, he was the principal. But he'd been in a lot of stuff, but when it came down to it, it was Batman. But the thing is, he embraced it. A lot of people wouldn't. He did.
Yeah, it was like the Mark Hamill situation with Luke Skywalker, which is funny because now that's like his biggest... It's always been his biggest role, but like for a while he hated like being typecast. And being,
well, I mean, when your career's like fresh like his was and it's like that's all you're known for, it sucks. But Adam West, for some reason, didn't have a problem with it. It was just... He
was typecast for a while.
He definitely was.
Yeah.
He was for a while. But for the past, I want to say, 30 years, Adam West has... It's weird. He's played Adam West for the past 30 years.
It's a TV trope, actually. It's called Adam Westing.
Oh, it is.
Where you're playing like an exaggerated version of yourself.
Yeah, because he's been... He hasn't only been in Family Guy as himself. Like, he's been in The Simpsons as himself. multiple just cartoons, Futurama, like random cameos as Adam West playing Adam West. Yeah. And then he'd even be in movies and television shows, like playing Adam West at a convention or playing Adam West. Like, it's like, oh, it's Adam West.
Yeah.
And so he was a funny guy.
Mm-hmm.
Like him and Burt Ward, who played Robin.
Yeah.
They'd go to conventions constantly together. Like, they'd always be the
convention. They always came off to me like very good friends. Like,
yeah, because they were. Yeah. Like, the Batman TV series created a lot of camaraderie amongst these actors because of the conditions they were working in.
Yeah.
Like, oftentimes it was fun on set, but at the same time, it was also, like, grueling and hectic. And also, there's, like, hilarious stories that we'll get to.
Yeah. Let's talk about this TV show. This is my parents' Batman.
For a lot of baby boomers, this is their Batman. This Batman was an entire generation's Batman. And it ran from, I believe it was 66 to 69, I think.
Yeah.
It ran for three seasons.
Yeah, and it had a movie.
It did have a movie.
This is probably where you might see the gif of GIF. Of
sometimes you can't get rid of a bomb.
Exactly. Batman running around with a giant cartoon bomb.
Yes.
It's amazing.
Also, yeah.
And bat shark repellent. Like, this movie... It's funny to me that this movie is added... This whole franchise has added a lot to the Batman mythos.
Which even comics themselves, like, from time to time, they'll even reference. Even though the comics...
Oh, and there's a comic, too.
Called Batman 66. Mike Allred... draws it. I don't know who's the writer.
Yeah.
I think that's
actually... To my understanding, it's a fun comic. And I watched this just this morning.
Jeff Parker writes it, and Mike Allred draws it.
Batman Return of the Caped Crusaders.
Yeah.
It's an animated movie based on the TV show, and it's a lot of fun. It looks great. To be honest, I've been kind of disappointed with DC's animated movies for the past couple of years. But this one was great.
The good news is that
he finished recording all of his lines for the sequel for that.
Yeah.
Which William Shatner's playing Two-Face.
Oh, my God.
So that's going to be...
Oh, God. Yeah. There are two voices together? That sounds insane.
That's going to be fun.
Sorry to
go off topic. Did you hear his recording that he did a small little blurb of a line from The Dark Knight Returns?
Yes, I did.
And that sounds like it's funny to say because... He can actually voice like a dark Batman.
Yeah.
And it sounds cool.
People aren't used to, like,
he's a very silly person.
Leslie Nielsen effect, though. Yeah. Where, like, people didn't realize, like, because before Batman, he was like a normal actor.
Yeah.
And before Airplane, Leslie Nielsen was also a serious actor.
Yeah.
And when that happens, when eventually you get not typecast or you're known for being a certain way.
It's like Liam Neeson being a badass.
Yes, and people tend to forget, like, Liam Neeson used to just do different things, and now he's just, like, kicking people's asses. it's kind of weird, but...
Or he's parody. He's Adam Westing himself now.
Yes.
So that's kind of fun.
So... About this show. So the show came about in the 60s, and essentially, a lot of people are like, "Well, why does he portray Batman like this?" Well, here's the thing you got to understand. There's two reasons. One, the most notable reason is because the show is supposed to be tongue in cheek, because the humor was meant for adults.
Yeah.
But the fun and adventure and stuff was meant for kids. So there's always been arguments on, is this show a parody, a satire, what is it? And the truth is, yes, it's actually meant to, like, sort of poke fun at a lot of, like, these, they didn't call them tropes at the time, but, like, these common things that were in the comics.
Cliches,
the
I guess.
Yeah. It was meant to be humorous, and also, and it's weird to say this, there are sexual overtones in it.
Mm-hmm.
But they're very, very hidden. Like, you'll see... So Batgirl, there's an episode where she gets chained up.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, that's... Okay, so...
That's a lot of...
Here's the thing. Season 3 introduced Batgirl, and every single episode she got tied up somehow. And it was always... Yeah, you know. They were trying to
titillate.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, we had the same idea, yeah.
So there's a good example, though, of what I mean by sexual, aside from her being in bondage or whatever.
Yeah.
Batman has to take her handcuffs off, so he starts. He takes a file out of his
lieutenant. The bat file.
And as he's doing it, he's doing these thrusting motions, and they're looking at each other in this weird way, and he's thrusting slow, and then he's just getting fast, and it's like, oh my god, that's clearly a metaphor for his bat dick. His
schwanz.
Yeah.
Bat schwanz.
As Grant Morrison says, the biggest cook in the world. Like, that's...
That's, well, you know what, I love Grant Morrison for that.
Batman's a superhero, the biggest cook. That, like, that's what he says.
He's, you know what... It's funny when I look at Grant Morrison's take on Batman, because he acknowledges, like, all of it.
Yeah, but Grant Morrison also created the Bat God, so I have...
You have some... I have this love of hate. Yeah.
If we ever do normal... We will do normal Batman episode. I'll talk about the Bat God and what that...
I feel like that could be its own episode, to be honest. Yeah. But yeah, Grant Morrison has no issues with the silly shit.
Oh, no. I wish more writers were like that in terms of that. Like, being like, yeah, Batman can be silly as fuck.
I used to watch, like, these superhero documentaries where they talk about, oh, well, we had to build Batman back up after this shit. And it's weird to me that, like, a while back, it was like, it was pegged for, like, just like, you could just shit on it.
There was a period of time where when anyone talked about the 60s Batman, they act like it was the scourge of the earth that ruined Batman. But the truth is, without this show, Batman would not be as popular as he is today.
Yeah.
And that's a hard pill for many to swallow, but it's true. This show introduced an entire generation to Batman.
And not just Batman, like, villains.
His
rogues gallery, yeah.
Yeah. As corny and as cheesy and as tongue-in-cheek as it was, because it was very tongue-in-cheek, I watched a few episodes in preparation for this, and it's clear that they know what they're doing. Yeah. It's like, it's not like when you watch the Incredible Hulk series. It's shitty and silly, but not because they wanted it to be. It's because it's a state of the times.
Yeah.
And also, it's just like, man, this is just bad TV. Same thing with the Wonder Woman
show. With the Hulk show, it's like, you can tell they wanted to make it, like, kind of interesting.
It was dramatic and just serious. Wonder Woman show also, I mean, they treated her getting kidnapped by a Nazi gorilla as serious. Yeah, I realize I just said that. But see, that's the thing.
I love DC's obsession with age.
But here's the thing, though. That was treated seriously.
Yeah.
This show never treated anything seriously. No. The only thing it treated seriously was that you got to be a good person and a good citizen.
Yeah.
Like, because this show was very much on, like,
be
a good citizen.
And the music is, it's essential, Batman. Like, even when people, like, think, oh, like, Danny Elfman, you know, Batman theme, like, that's fine and good, but this is when people are joking around about Batman, like, it's this music that kind of like comes into their head. It, to me, the show is like it is Batman to the pop culture, like,
well, yeah, well, I mean, now it's arguable.
Now it's gruff voices and...
There's two Batmans. For the older people, this is definitely Batman.
Yeah.
Like, pow, bang, biff, all that shit.
Yeah.
That's will always be connected with super... Like, Batman brought that to superheroes. Like, this shit, like, onomatopoeia has always existed in comic books.
But it made it, like,
that made it on screen. That made it mainstream.
Yeah.
Like it's just like, the Superman, Adventures of Superman with George Reeves. What that brought to, like, the whole pose of, like, putting your hands on your hips, how whenever
kids... Oh, that was him?
Yeah, like, whenever kids want to look like superheroes, it's like, that shit brought that to the mainstream, and, like, kids wearing capes and crap, like, because prior to that, like, yeah, superheroes are a thing, people knew superheroes in comics, but that popularized superheroes to a point where it's like, now we've entered the mainstream, like, of the pop cultural zeitgeist. So, Batman, it brought the whole full color aspect, like, and also you have to remember, this show, when it came out, color TV, like, just started becoming a thing.
Yeah.
And so...
Popularized.
They used that shit to its full effect. Like, incredibly to its full effect. Because you watch any of these episodes, god damn, it's bright. Like, there's colors everywhere. They don't shy away from anything.
And I think it has to do with his villains, too. They all kind of have, like, colorful costumes. Like, the Riddler and Joker.
Yeah, well, watch any show from this era, and even though they're in full color... They don't use it to its full effect, really. It's everything, like, a lot of shows from the 60s and 70s Keller still kind of played down. It's like, yeah. It's, you know, it's not really overly utilized. This show, though, it is one of the brightest shows that, like, from this era. Like,
and I love the Dutch angle for bad guys.
Yes. Yeah, so this show is actually, it's interesting because it actually took some risks and did things that other shows hadn't done.
Yeah.
Twilight Zone did experiment with a few things, like, in terms of, like, technique and stuff. This, the Dutch angle...
Twilight Zone deserves its own episode.
Yes, it does. This, though, with the Dutch angle, it really made that prominent. And it, anytime bad guys, like, it yeah. goes into Dutch angle mode.
And they kind of did that in The Dark Knight a bit with yeah. the Joker, which I thought was, like... I know they probably weren't thinking about it, yeah. but to me, it's like, all right.
The
like,
other thing that's interesting now, so this was classified as a sitcom, as a situation comedy.
Yeah.
It's technically the first sitcom to not use a laugh track.
Yes.
Which is kind of insane when you think about it because it's the 60s.
Yeah, I never thought of
fucking
that.
Scooby-Doo had a laugh
that,
track.
Okay, you know what? Real talk. That always pissed me off that Hanna-Barbera started adding laugh tracks to the cartoons. I'm like, dude, like, there's no audience.
How else are you going to know?
There's no audience here. Like, it's a cartoon.
It's drawn in front of a laugh
track.
But yeah, so it's kind of... interesting how innovative the show was at times, and they played a lot with sight humor, sight gags and stuff, yeah. and like, but at the same time, behind the scenes, it was weird. Talk about sexually charged.
Yeah.
So this show is notable for, based on what Adam West had to say, and Burt Ward, and other cast members, for the wild, drugged up orgies that came from it.
Yeah, I'm a, yes.
Very famous for that, this show. It's weird. Whenever people talk about, like, old shows, like, having, like, crazy sex parties, this one always comes up first. I want to say it's because it's just hilarious because it's like Batman
yeah.
stuff.
Well, it's like you have a very attractive looking, like, male lead cast and all that. Then you have, like, all these women coming in. I'm like, yeah. It makes sense, honestly. Like,
well, yeah, I mean, yeah, but
these guys were like sex icons for a while, weren't they?
Adam West definitely yeah. was for a time, which is kind of weird looking back because
yeah,
because
it's Adam West.
Yeah, Julie Newmar was definitely yeah. a sex icon.
Eartha Kitt
was too, but Julie Newmar was like. One of the, she, I don't know who to compare her to, like, today, but she was, like...
Well, she was kind of like Marilyn Monroe, right? Like,
no, not that level. Like,
I don't mean, like...
No, I'm saying not at that level of, like, hype, but, like, I mean, they're around the same time.
That's true, I do forget that.
But she, for many young boys, she was there, like...
Farrah Fawcett. I don't know what...
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I guess you could say Farrah Fawcett.
I don't know what
no,
today's...
Farrah Fawcett would make... Well, I mean, that's not today's, yeah. I don't know what the youth of today considers, like...
Like the hot... Because everyone's got, like, a different take.
Yeah,
on.
Also, because we live in the next Netflix generation now, so it's like...
You have too much coming in.
Yeah.
Coming at you.
But then, yeah, and... I mean, Burgess Meredith was not a sex symbol.
Why not?
But, Or Cesar Romero, for that matter. Or Frank Gorshin. Frank Gorshin was fucking crazy, though. So
yeah. He voiced Hugo Strange in the Batman cartoon.
So, there's only one thing, and so the other point I was trying to make earlier, though, is the other thing people like to, not like to bring up, but when it comes to what this show was, in the 60s, the comics, and people always like to say, the comics were like this in the 70s, and it's like, yeah, before Denny O'Neill, before Neil Adams came and, like,
yeah.
revamped everything, Batman was silly as shit.
Do you mean Neil Adams or Neil / Adams?
Neil Adams and Denny O'Neill.
Okay.
O'Neill Adams.
Okay.
So, in the 1950s and onwards, and we talked about this last week in Seduction of the Innocent, go check that episode out, how they changed up Batman was they dialed up the silliness. Like,
yeah.
This is the era of giant typewriters. This is the era of, like...
The Big Penny and all that stuff.
Yeah, this is the craziest fuck era of, like, of Batman wearing a Bruce Wayne mask, and then underneath the Bruce Wayne mask is Batman. Like, this is that weird fucking era. Batman turning into a buzzsaw for no goddamn reason. Like, you know,
Silver Age is crazy. Like,
yeah.
I feel like that could be an episode too, but, so, like, Batman in this era had like these crazy villains.
This is Zebra era, all that
stuff. Yeah, what?
Rainbow Batman.
Killer Moth.
Yes. Like Kite Man, all that shit.
Yeah. Eraserhead.
Yes.
I don't mean David Lynch. I mean
yeah.
a literal dude who's a pencil with
so,
a... Yeah.
So that's the thing. A lot of people like to, for some reason, ignore this or shrug this off, but it's like, what, they're like, why did the show have to be like that?
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck else were they supposed to base it off of?
Yeah.
Golden Age comics that, no.
Just what, Batman shooting
Look,
people?
Here's the other thing, Golden Age comics, okay, we live in an era where reprints are normal, where archives are normal.
Yeah.
Back in the 60s, the only thing they could do to research the shit, because trade paperbacks did not exist, were to go to, like, newsstands and see what was happening in the goddamn comics.
Yeah.
And that's the problem. It's a issue of hindsight where people today are like, well, they could have based it off of, like, the first issues, you know, and, like, it's like, no, they couldn't have, because how, unless they found someone who had those early issues, what were they going to do? Hey, you remember those stories from 20 years ago?
Yeah.
No. It's like, so they went, like...
It's funny to me that you're saying all this, because those documentaries I was talking about, one of them pretty much had this same, like, notion where it was like, you know, the Batman comics were dark, but the show was silly, and I don't know why this is happening. See, and it's like, that to me is ridiculous, that you can have this, like, revisionist history over...
See, it's because we can look back so easily and be like, but here's the Golden Age issue. It's like, yeah, for us, it's easy to see those.
Yeah,
because
we have this technology that lets us...
You have to remember, like, prior to the 1980s, like, unless you were super well-versed in the history because you read everything and, like, you collected everything, knowing yeah. shit wasn't as big a deal. And also, it's like, that's why continuity didn't matter as much back then.
Yeah.
Because people... It was only a niche group that was obsessed with, like, back then this happened.
Yeah. And it's like... The whole Bill Finger thing, right?
Yeah.
We can easily just look up, oh, Bill Finger's actually the guy that made Batman.
Yeah.
Back then, how the fuck were people supposed to know?
And that's the problem. It's like, people have this way of looking at the past where they think it's like, but, you know, everyone should know this shit. It's like, because we do. But it's like, you know, we live in the information age. Completely different.
Yeah.
So when the show was made, the truth is it was emulating the comics at the time. I mean, were they as... weird and silly as this? No. But the thing is, they were still, like, they weren't serious comics. They weren't dark. Batman was still wearing powder blue at the time.
Yeah.
Like, even when Denny O'Neil and Neil Adams came on the title, still wearing powder blue.
Again, I don't mind the blue costume.
I like it. Yeah. I actually prefer it. I'm one of those people who prefer... I mean, I like his current Rebirth costume. I think it's, like, a happy medium.
Okay.
It's, like... But that's one of the big complaints you always get. Is like, they could have just copied like the old stuff. It's like, no, they couldn't have. They didn't know about it. The other thing is that the show was fucking popular as shit. So it's a case of
they did something right. So
yeah, it's like, no. Well, it's like, see, had they gone a different route, maybe it wouldn't have been as popular. Maybe Batman wouldn't have become as mega huge as this, because this show led to Bob Kane becoming extraordinarily fucking wealthy also.
Yeah, fuck that.
But at the same time, Bill Finger,
He wrote an episode.
Yeah, and he got a credit. It's the first time he was credited for anything Batman related.
Yeah.
This did lead to Batman becoming this like big pop culture icon.
And the fact that you can say Bob Kane got popular because of that is crazy.
Yeah.
It's like, it's the equivalent of like, the guy who created Fairly Odd Parents becoming like a mega star. Well, it's weird.
And then
you can't think of it now.
Butch Hartman.
Butch Hartman's a cool dude, but
I hate Butch Hartman.
I think he's a funny guy.
This led, of course, to the Batman theme song becoming popularized.
Oh, yeah, it had records and shit, and people covered
and
it.
And for an entire generation, this is the Batman theme song. It's not the Danny Elfman one.
No. I was saying that.
It the movie or the cartoon version.
I think the cartoon version's fine.
I like both.
The Batman theme. This Batman theme.
And that's... This theme... Da-na-na-na-na-na-na. Batman. Like, and it's been parodied over and over.
Oh, yeah. Totally.
It's so recognizable.
In Mother 3, the video game, when you encounter bat enemies, they start off with a riff on the Batman theme.
Like, yeah,
it's ridiculous. Like, this is bats in general at this point. It's weird.
Everything about this show, in some way, has been parodied, has been used to inspire something else. Like, coming out of a cave, is like something that a lot of
the things California do. Cave.
Yeah, coming out of like that, like a cave venture. It's been used tons of times, either to make fun of superheroes or
to the X whatever. Like to the X pole, to the X
the holy thing.
Yeah,
like. And by that I mean when Robin goes...
Holy X, Batman. That any of that, like...
It's been, like, all these things still, like, exist in pop culture.
The red phone.
The red phone, sliding down a pole.
The bust, the Shakespeare head or whatever it is.
It's weird. All these things the show brought, like, they've stayed. And no matter what, like, to go, like, you look at the other Batman movies, it's like... I don't see them having as long-lasting as an influence on pop culture.
No.
As this, because the show came out in the fucking 60s, and people are still talking about it today, or at least, like, riffing off on it. So, this show sort of, like, took from those comics.
Yeah.
Well, eventually what happened was the comics sort of started taking from the show, like, designs started changing. The Riddler...
Which
will always happen. The Riddler ended up looking like the Riddler in the show.
Which means he had the suit.
The Joker... So, this is a debate that a lot of people have about Cesar Romero's Joker portrayal. I used to hate it, because I'm like, that's fucking stupid. But what's weird is, there's more in common with this Joker and Mark Hamill's than any other Joker, I feel like.
Yeah.
Like, Jack Nicholson's...
He's playing Jack Nicholson.
Yeah, there's points when, like the parade scene where it's like, okay, that's somewhat Joker, but... It's like, this isn't the Clown Prince of Crime. No. What the fuck is this? This, though, this dude is the Clown Prince of Crime.
Yeah.
Like, it's insane how much people shit on Cesar Romero these days.
Yeah.
When it's like, no, he's very close to what the Joker is.
Yeah. Like, to me, I think Mark Hamill, I know it's the popular opinion, but I don't care.
Yeah.
To me, he's the perfect Joker because it's like...
Well, I mean, that progressively, cartoon in general, it's like, it got everything right.
You progressively get, like, more and more, like, intense, like, crazy Joker up until, like, Return of the Joker where he's, like, the at his, like, peak evil. Like, but he started off being a very silly character.
This is pre-crisis Joker to a T. I mean, it's just... This is a guy you don't fuck with. I mean, I don't know. It's just... You also had Mr. Freeze appear on the show. Three different actors played him, I think.
Three different women played Catwoman also.
Yeah, it was Julie Newmar, Eartha Kitt, and in the movie it was Lee Merriweather.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which was kind of parodied in the Return of the Caped Crusaders. Batman gets conked on the noggin. And he sees, you know, as in the cartoon, you see threes because, you know, my head's all woozy.
Yeah,
well, he sees the three different Catwomen.
I mean, there's also, there's other, like, Egghead.
Yeah, Vincent Price.
Fucking Vincent Price was in this damn show.
King Tut, Egghead.
Yeah, but he was very popular with people.
Yeah, like, well, it's Vincent Price.
They liked him a lot. Like, I'm looking at
the animated movie has a lot of... villains from the show.
So I'm looking at the list right here of who was in there. Like, there was, Victor Buono, I think that's your brand's name, played Professor Milton Ellery, a.k.a. King Tut.
Yeah.
Mr. Freeze is played by George Sanders, Otto Preminger, and Eli Wallach.
Eli, okay. Yeah, I gotta see
in season two, Eli Wallach played Mr. Freeze, and Otto Preminger also played him in the second season, but Eli Wallach is probably the one people remember the most.
Yeah.
David Wayne played the Mad Hatter. Vincent Price played Egghead.
Mad Hatter was in the show, really?
Yeah. Carolyn Jones played...
That's when he had the top hat, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Carolyn Jones played Queen of Diamonds. Cliff Robertson, a.k.a. Uncle Ben from the Raimi movies, played Shame. So he was a cowboy.
Yeah.
Who...
Is that a take on Shane?
Yeah, and also... they had he had a red tank and broke people out of prison with it. So, Anne Baxter played Olga, Queen of the Cossacks.
Their take on Gotham and Arkham Asylum in general, whatever it is,
everything's weird.
It's so fun.
And Milton Berle played Louis the Lilac.
That's amazing.
The show did have a lot of cameos, like of people.
Brave and the Bold has a lot of references to this show, like. That show would not exist without this show.
So, of course, you had Burt Ward as Robin.
Yeah.
So, you had Alfred. This show popularized,
who's
by the way.
Who's he played by?
He's played by Alan Napier.
Okay.
So, this show really popularized Alfred being Batman's main man. Because mm-hmm. prior to that...
Wasn't Alfred always portrayed as kind of like portly and not really...
Yes, he was a chubby butler. This gave us the whole...
No, now Alfred's looked at as like a badass. Like Batman's Batman.
Well, he wasn't a badass in this, though.
No, I know. Yeah. But if you look at how he's evolved...
Yeah, that's true.
It was like... We needed to make him sophisticated... And now we got to make him, like, awesome. Yeah. Like, okay.
Commissioner Gordon, of course.
Who was fat in the movies.
Played by Neil Hamilton.
That's the worst Commissioner Gordon, by the way. I love that guy.
I love that in those movies, like, in Gordon's the Burton ones. Useless. No, in the Burton ones, he's, like, a normal commissioner.
Yeah.
Like, it's, like, a very noir-type commissioner. And then all of a sudden, he turns into the fucking commissioner from the TV series.
Yeah.
He starts wearing the exact same costume.
Yeah.
Batman, Mr. Freeze is on the loose. It's like, what the fuck?
He starts getting, like, easily tricked by the villains and shit.
Yeah, he becomes, like, silly and goofy.
Which, it blows my mind that, like, in the Nolan movies, he's kind of like the heart and soul of that franchise.
He became normal Commissioner Gordon.
Yeah.
But it's weird how...
It's weird to me that, like, when I took my parents to see The Dark Knight... They were like, why isn't Commissioner Gordon fat and funny? Like, okay, like...
Then there's Aunt Harriet.
She's in the movie also.
Yeah. Aunt Harriet's a thing. And then Yvonne Craig, of course, played Barbara Gordon, Batgirl.
Yeah. She passed away recently.
Yeah, and the reason they introduced her was because...
Sex sells.
No, it wasn't just that. It was also... But that has something. People were trying to... they were like, well, we might as well introduce a female so people stop making these jokes about...
Them being gay.
Yeah.
Which, in that animated movie, there's a couple references to that. Because Aunt Harriet thinks that they're off fucking when they're fighting crime.
And also, another famous story about the show was the... there's bits of trivia people like to talk about is how the Joker, how Cesar Romero refused to shave his mustache.
Yeah.
So they just painted over it, and they did.
It looks fine. I don't know why people.
It's not that obvious. I mean, if this show was like in super HD,
4,000 billion K,
yeah, then you'd be like, oh shit, it's a mustache. But I mean, you can't really tell. So people like to bring that up, and it's true. Yeah, he didn't want to shave his mustache. He refused to.
Mm.
The other thing that always makes me laugh is every single season, for all three seasons, they tried their hardest to come up with a device to strap down a certain apparatus on a certain person. So Burt Ward...
He had a very, very large dick. Well, look at his name. Dick Grayson.
Like, apparently it was like... It got in the way. And so the first season, they tried to push it down.
Oh, no.
But it created an even bigger bulge. And so each season they had different methods of like... Because he wore like a little tiny like briefs.
Yeah, he was wearing like the pixie boots.
Yeah, and it always looked like he had a fist down there. And so like there's weird stories about like them coming up with underwear to tuck it in. Yeah. Or, like, and he's talked about it how it's like and they did different things and he'd get a lot of weird fan mail from female viewers like talking about it or asking for pictures of it. And, I mean, yeah.
So he was, that's essentially like old school like dick pics.
Yeah, I don't think he sent, he probably did send.
Yeah, of course he did.
They didn't have Polaroid cameras back then, did they? They might have.
I think they might
have. Oh, no, they did. Yeah.
Maybe. I mean, photos, you know, that wouldn't be difficult.
Yeah, and then of course, you know, there's a lot of weird sex stories on set. All those crazy shit things happening, you know. Just people having mad sex.
Mad old time.
Yeah.
Mad lads.
But the show's remembered for being silly and zany and goofy, and I feel like with the passing of Adam West, the tide is now...
It's shifted back to positive.
Because I have not seen anyone talk shit on this show since Adam West passed away.
Actually, when those Blu-rays came out, I noticed a big wave of people saying, yeah, fucking
yeah, well,
Batman.
I mean, it's cool that it's starting to happen, and now with Adam West dying, it's like, now I think people are finally going to be like, you know what, maybe we gave this show too hard of a time. But
which will always happen.
So,
it's
what does the internet think? So, I got these shortly after he passed away.
We have Jim, by the way.
Yes, he's back commenting. Letting us know his feelings on the show. So, his thoughts are... When I was young, my gateway into darkness was paved by a fun and campy knight. His name was Adam West. I would watch reruns as much as I could. Loving a hero brought to life just like George Reeves before him. In retrospect, the show doesn't hold up at all. It's not what the Batman I love is like. However, this is the Batman that's perfect gateway for kids. His voice was amazing and will live on. Rest in peace, Mr. West. You weren't the best. but you were my first. And that's true.
Cool.
It's not the best Batman. No. It's not even what I would consider my Batman. But it is a good way to introduce introduce Batman to anyone, like to kids especially. It's like
it gets the core concepts down. He's against crime. You have all his villains there.
Yeah, and
you
have even Robin. If you said they're sexual innuendos or whatever.
Yeah, they're
for adults. Only the adults will get them. It's like,
so like it's cool. It's like you have your Gordon, you have your Alfred. Yeah. You have pretty much everything that is like the core aspect of Batman.
Yeah.
It's just not dark. That's the only thing.
Yeah. So I mean, everyone has their Batman, I guess. Yeah. But
and I've seen them do like Dark Knight trailer parodies with the show, and it's
like,
fun.
Yeah, so he is the first. I mean, okay, people want to complain, but the serial.
He's the
Batman.
First real mainstream Batman. Yes, let's be real.
And that's
okay?
the thing. It's like Kirk Allen was before Joe
Grimes.
That's
fine, cool.
But at the same time, no one gives a fuck about Kirk Allen. I mean, I like Kirk Allen as Superman. That I think it's interesting. Yeah.
It's like those Fleischer cartoons. Like, well, that's the first Superman. I'm like, yeah, but like,
no, I think there is an argument there because those were really fucking popular.
Well, those are good too.
They were extremely popular. Like those were.
I would like to talk about those.
Sometime. Those helped put Superman on the map. Also,
that and the TV show, right?
Yeah, like the Fleischer cartoons are what really started.
But the Batman serial was not that popular.
No,
right?
No. Again, Batman wasn't a merchandise fucking icon and like. Till the 60s. The 60s is when Batman fucking exploded. And people, like, in hindsight, they're like, well, 50s... Yeah, he was popular on newsstands. But in terms of merchandise...
This guy made a dance.
The Batusi.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, and really quick. So Hollywood... Los Angeles City, Los Angeles...
Oh, yeah,
City,
yeah,
really
yeah.
Cool. They, in memorial for Adam West passing away...
They lit up City Hall.
With the Bat Signal.
Yeah.
And so it's... And they had this big... Like, people came dressed up as Batman.
Well, he lived here, didn't he?
Yeah.
Wasn't this...
Well, yeah. I mean, and he is a Hollywood icon.
Yes.
Like,
even though people don't think he's that popular, it's crazy to me that...
When Christian Bale dies, there's not gonna be a Bat Signal for him.
No, they're gonna have a skinny, frail guy signal show up on Wales or wherever he's from.
Alright, so here's more comments.
Okay.
All right,
I have some too for...
It's funny.
Okay, it is funny.
Comfy.
All right. We've used that term to describe shows that you can watch without any real distress.
Yeah.
I got one.
All right.
Someone called this Batman in to rein in the fun.
That's the fun is a word I'm seeing a lot when it comes to this one. Because, yeah, it is. My dad showed me this movie as a kid, and I loved it. The animated one came out last year and was great. So.
Oh, we're talking about Return of the King.
Yeah.
You know what? It was a fun movie. It got pretty much everything down pat about what I think of Adam West Batman. And it still had a story. And it took itself seriously, but not in a way... It didn't feel like self-parody. That's what I mean. It was like, okay.
Well, that's good. So, so it was like true to what the show was.
Yeah, it was fun.
That's good. Alongside the Burton's Batman the movie was one of my earliest introductions to Batman mythos, and I've been hooked ever since. Frank Gorshin is the reason behind my love for the Riddler, and Burgess Meredith is one of my favorite renditions of the Penguin, the other being Paul Williams of Batman Animated Series.
It's so weird to me that that's, like, someone's favorite Penguin, Paul Williams.
Yeah.
No, like, I think it's interesting that ever since this Riddler, well, I mean, it's the first time Riddler really is, but... Everyone's always kind of made their Riddler sound like a bit higher pitched. He's got a bit of a voice up here. I guess in reference to Frank Gorshin's Riddler. I mean, that's cool that it's clear that this show has had lasting impact, maybe more than people want to admit.
Oh, it has. It definitely has. Lee with Meriwether and Julie Newmar were hot as fuck.
Okay.
All right, so someone just stayed in there. I grew up watching reruns. It had the best Joker and a great, fun Batman.
My Batmobile works perfectly fine, thank you. It doesn't look shit like yours. You just put a bunch of stickers on your car and all they say is Batman on it. Fuck you.
I don't know what that means. But let's talk about the Batmobile. We didn't talk about that.
The Batmobile is the car. You can make an entire list of, like, the top 10 greatest cars in fiction. And you could have like 4 Batmobiles on
there. What's interesting though, when people say Batmobile, a lot of people automatically go to this.
Yeah.
Like they don't go to the Bat Tumbler. They don't go to like...
Nah, I hate that thing so much.
It's, I don't count it as Batmobile. It's not. It doesn't feel like a car. It's like a tank.
Yeah.
This is
Which, again, was the joke, but...
Yeah. All right. Let's see. Silly and comfy. Well, that's a basic comedy. Very campy, but there's a charm to it. And I felt myself rooting for the villains for some reason.
The villains are as iconic as Batman.
The villains are fucking fun.
They are fun.
And they're also hilarious and fucking weird.
And the movie, their big selling point was like, look, we got Catwoman, we got the Joker, we got the Riddler, we got Penguin.
Yes.
And it's like, okay, yeah, those are... And it seems to me like those are the most popular Batman villains.
No, they definitely are.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're, when people think of Batman villains, those are the ones they think of.
Yeah. Everyone was clamoring for Riddler to be the bad guy for the third movie. I don't know if you remember.
I remember
all that. The Johnny Depp mock-ups.
Johnny Depp, Neil Patrick Harris, and David Tennant, I think, were the ones I saw the most.
Yeah. And Harley Quinn.
But then it turned out to be a big guy for you.
Which is amazing to me that in itself is, like, is really popular. I love and hate that Bane so much.
It's
so silly, but it has nothing. He's not a smart luchador.
It's ruined how I read Bane in the comics.
Oh, I know. It's horrible.
Whenever he shows up, like recently he showed up, and I was reading an issue, and it was just like, I can't get that voice out of my goddamn.
I used to have the Mexican guy who voiced him in the animated series, and now it's just yeah, it's just that.
Or I'm Bane. Watching this shit as a kid gave me some of my first boners.
Okay.
So there's a lot of comments like that.
I have one last one for you.
All right.
I prefer Adam's take on the Bat. He isn't a sadistic piece of shit like Val Kilmer.
Val Kilmer's... I don't know.
Harvey! I'm Batman!
And then George Clooney is probably the closest to Adam West.
I think it's weird that he's like retconned how he said. He said that I played Batman like he was gay. And I'm like, okay.
Oh, God.
I don't know what you're talking about, George Clooney, but alright.
Alright, I have a few. Okay, it's top tier fun, and I love the trippy funhouse aesthetics to it. Yeah, it was very funhouse.
Yeah, the way they used like smoke machines and shit too, didn't they? For some of the episodes.
Yes, they used tons of weird shit. I mean, there's an episode where there's a tripwire, and there's a bee that comes out of the hive, and it says on a sign, bee trap. Like it, yeah, and it's like clearly a bee on a stick, but it's not. It's like cotton balls.
Oh.
It's made really cheap, but it's hilarious. Okay, incredibly charming. Any Batman fan unable to appreciate it due to being silly is a full plebe. The fact that the show is silly as the premise of crime-fighting millionaire makes the whole thing work.
Yeah, you know what?
I mean, at the end of the day, it's kind of funny. Batman's a crime-fighting millionaire.
You made a comment to me a while back about. Yeah. The idea of a dude dressing up as a bat and fighting crime is silly.
It's kind of fucking hilarious when you think about it.
It's like, if you were a criminal, would you be, like, scared at how insane this guy is just walking at you dressed as a bat?
Like, it's not like when you had other capes from that time period where it's like they're just putting a domino mask on, like, you know.
A spear in a hat, yeah.
Yeah, like, you know. Like Phantom Reporter or something.
Yeah.
It's not like that where it's like, okay, I get it, but it's like this dude dressed as a millionaire dressed as a bat fighting homeless people and criminals.
Yeah.
Like, or dudes dressed like clowns. Like, it is a silly premise when you think about it. Because, like, other superheroes, there's the fantastical element
like,
to them.
Superman, it's like, there's nothing silly about him.
Also,
he's
an alien.
Yeah.
Like, every superhero has, like, that has a power, it's like this fantastic element to them. Whereas with Batman, it's like, you're a millionaire dressed like a bat, fighting normal people. This is kind of weird.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, like you have the Punisher, but he's dressed like a normal person. Well, now he is. He doesn't wear his white gloves anymore, but that was kind of silly when you think about it. But, yeah, there's always going to be like a silly aspect of Batman. It's like, what the fuck? Yeah, all right. I liked it. Nice and comfy. Funny. People didn't take themselves seriously.
Yeah. I mean, they knew what show they were making. It wasn't like, oh, Batman was silly because they were too stupid to get the comics.
The historical retcon people make is like, they didn't know what they were doing. It's like, they did.
Yeah.
What the fuck? They did for three seasons.
I don't like this meme of like, oh, Batman is silly because the 60s were silly. The 60s were fucked up. Like,
oh no, the Sillies were fucked up. The Sillies. The '60s. Is it just me, or is the Riddler actually the most menacing villain? Seriously, he's creepy as fuck and much closer to the modern interpretation of the Joker. Admittedly, False Face is also pretty creepy, but it's more his appearance. Riddler's creepy because Frank Gorshin was a fucking psycho.
It's interesting to me that Two-Face was never on this show.
No.
Even though I consider him to be one of the top Batman villains. Yes. Yeah.
Had the show gone on longer, I imagine they would have introduced him eventually. Yeah.
But William Shatner as Two-Face is that... See, I would have loved to have seen that.
Yeah. But
the thing is, like, they designed the Harvey Dent face to look like William young William Shatner from Star Trek, essentially. Oh, that's cool. So that's, yeah.
Okay. Let's see. I unironically loved the 60s Batman as a kid, but people used to give me so much shit for liking this. Batman and Robin more or less killed campy fun Batman for a solid decade until Brave and the Bold made it okay for people to admit liking Batman again. Before then, it was just all grim, dark, edgy shit.
Yeah.
I know you've gotten shit for liking Brave and the Bold.
Yeah, and it's so weird because it's like, it's such a... My old take is like, look, you have DVDs of that old show. It's not going away.
I remember when Brave and the Bold was out and I was...
You weren't like... You liked the animation, but you weren't sold on the show.
It's not just that. I remember being in classes with like other like illustration students and stuff. And... I didn't talk shit on the show. I just didn't really watch it.
Yeah.
The shit talk about the show was amazing.
Really?
Like, so many, like, Batman fans were talking about, oh, he's such a disgrace to Batman.
Oh, you know
all this little kid bullshit. This is also the same dude who, for some reason, was wearing a Superman shirt. He told me, like, I wish someone would just stab Superman in the heart and he'd die.
Why?
And I was just like, why? Who? Like, Superman bugs you that much? But she's just... I wish he would die. And I'm
it's weird. Batman, the 60s show, got as much shit as Superman does now for basically...
Yeah.
People... It's funny to me. People think that Superman is just this Batman. That he's silly and stupid and doesn't know what he's doing.
I know his heroes who tend to be, like, good. Altruistic and good, like... A certain segment of people like to shit on those heroes.
Yeah, it was
They're
like...
just lame.
When Civil War came out... I remember you always had these edgelords, whatever the fuck you want to call them. They'd be like, you fuck Captain America, it's all about Iron Man. And I'm like, dude, like,
yeah.
Like it was just weird. And
yeah, the shit Brave and the Bold got was...
And intense. I had to tell you to watch the one where he finds his Joe Chill.
That sold me on it. I was like, oh, shit.
Yeah, which is weird because the show isn't like that at
no,
all.
No, but that episode was great.
Yeah. It's a good show.
Let's see. Let's see. I actually think most of the latter-day takes on Batman's villains would be completely and utterly fucked if they came against 66 Batman. This is the man who keeps shark repellent spray in his helicopter just in case.
I would love to see this Batman fight.
I wish that DC, like the comics would actually have like 66 Batman like just
like
crossover.
Yeah.
I want to see... Like,
you know what? That's true. He would fuck their shit up
because he does not care about like it's weird.
No, and this Batman knows kung fu.
You watch this show and like, anytime someone tries to tell him anything, he just like shrugs it off and goes, "No, crime doesn't pay." Like things like that, and it's like imagine this Batman going up against the current Joker.
Like, yeah, like
or well, I mean, there's three Jokers now, kind of.
Oh,
they need to solve that mystery of. Why there's three Jokers. It's a thing.
That's crazy.
But yeah. I think everyone would be... I think even current Batman would be fucked by this Batman. let's see. I didn't get that this was a comedy when I was a kid. I was a pretty dull boy.
barring that last statement. it's weird. I knew about this show, but to me, I didn't really know that it was campy and silly until like...
I knew it was silly, but...
It's... Things to me didn't work like on that level to me. It was like, okay, this is just Batman. Like, yeah. It didn't matter to me if it was silly or not. I just took it as one thing.
I remember watching reruns of this like on Nick at Night because they aired it on Nick at Night a few times. And like my grandpa would watch it or like with my mom would watch it. And I didn't. It was Batman.
Yeah.
It
was just more Batman for me to take in.
Like, by the way, we didn't even mention Batman did have a crossover with
the Green Hornet.
Hornet and Kato.
Two of them, I think. One's a full episode,
yeah,
where they have to try to capture.
And they also crossed over with Scooby-Doo.
You know, if you look at, like, the grand way of things crossing over, like, everything, like, that means, like, wrestling, like, WWE exists in Batman.
Yes, John Cena exists in this
Scooby-Doo, universe. Yeah. But, yeah, they had a full episode, I think, where they have to try to capture the Green Hornet, because his whole thing was, I'm the bad guy.
Yeah.
Not Razor Ramon. And then there's one where they're, this was before that one, where they're climbing up the, yeah. Which, again,
another
is,
iconic imagery.
Where they're just,
inside of a building.
Where they're just pretending to climb up it. Yeah. But Kato and the Green Hornet, their heads pop out of one of the windows. And they're like, oh, shit. Hey.
Okay, I think what makes 60s Batman so charming is how they portray everything. Yes, it was bright colors. Yes, the acting isn't the best. But you have to remember that this was near the beginning of color television as well as television itself, as TV had only been around for about a decade.
Yeah.
Yeah, oh, yeah, that's right. Of course they would want to use these colors because they have never had the chance to do it before. The problem in the situation Batman and Robin always got stuck in were always treated with a sense of seriousness as if they would affect the world. You can argue instances such as Shark Repellent surfing and even Batman carrying the bomb all the way these out of all the way these issues, but I believe they add a little comic realism to the mix. I feel if it only considered campy because today's standards of Batman comic movies as a whole.
Yeah.
No, I disagree with this guy.
I mean,
the guy's, I feel like this person's trying to like say like, it wasn't silly for back then. No, it was. It was. But see, that's the other side of, like, trying to, like, change history, how history views things.
See, the thing is, my parents dug this show.
Yeah.
Because I think they knew it was silly.
But they didn't think it was... See, that's the problem. This guy's trying to make it seem like...
What, this was everyone's Dark Knight?
People took this seriously. It's like...
No.
There's types of people who, like, to enjoy something, they have to, like, come up with...
This is what I was wondering with, like, Star Trek, the original show. Did it have the same...
No, people did take that seriously.
Okay, that's what I was wondering.
But that's the thing, because Star Trek, at times, is tongue-in-cheek, but it wasn't trying to be.
Yeah.
Like, this, though, was trying to get laughs, and it's like, it...
No, there's clearly a distinction, because Star Trek is not a comedy.
But you have people who, like, they don't want people to think that they like bad stuff, or, like... zany, silly stuff, so they have to say, like, no, you don't understand, back then this was... No. It's like...
Kevin Smith ever talked about this show?
Probably on his podcast, Fat Man on Batman.
Yes. Which is an amazing...
Arguments with people who say Gilligan's Island was serious for the time.
What? It had a laugh track!
I know, but people are stupid and they, like, I don't know. Yeah, it's, you know, it was really dark when you think about it.
I mean, when you think about it, it's fucked up, but it's not a fucked up show.
Let's see. It's all right. Gives you a bit of campy flavor of the 60s TV. It can be fun. It's a completely different depiction of Batman that we've had since the 80s. But it's not high cinema in any way. And if you've seen one, you've seen them all. The same gags every episode. Just a different villain and a slightly different plot. But again, TV back then wasn't meant to binge watch or wasn't like meant to be rewatched. Because again, reruns really weren't a thing yet.
What's a rerun?
Yeah, exactly.
You could basically look at... Lorraine's family from, and say, like, people didn't have a ton of
TV. And that's another thing people always forget when they're talking about these things. Like, they're all the same. It's like, it's such lazily written. It's like, television wasn't watched the same way we watch it nowadays. And people just seem to not understand that concept that television was disposable.
Yeah.
These episodes...
It was something you gathered around and watched and you're like, all right, fuck it.
And then you forget about it. It's like, you could miss an episode and who gave a shit?
Yeah.
Like, nowadays...
Now it's like your entire seasons are based
everything's
on...
Everything's serialized, but also you have access to these things.
Yeah.
Back then, it's like, what was your... Like, oh, man, I miss Batman. What am I going to do? Oh, well, wait till next week. Let's see what adventure he gets on then.
Yeah.
So, whenever I see people say that, I'm just like, look at the context. Hindsight is always 20/20.
Looking back, it's still a bit fuzzy.
Okay, so this is the final one. My mom showed me a post on a Facebook group she's on, and there was some guy talking about how he brought his very old veteran dad to a convention near where they live because Adam West and Burt Ward were going to be there, and his dad was a big fan of the 60s Batman. So anyway, for some reason or another, I don't remember, sickness or general old person fragility, the dad couldn't make it to the actual convention center, whatever you call it, to meet them in person, so the son goes to get their autographs for his dad. Okay, I'm ruining the story, so I'm just going to get to the juice. Adam West goes to the hotel room to greet the dad as Batman, not in costume, lol. Talk to him, and at one point says, hey, we should get Robin. To which they go over to Burt Ward's hotel room, they take a picture together, and at some point the dad told Adam West about Batman being his favorite superhero, and Adam West, God bless his soul, replies back with, "No, you're my hero."
Oh.
Because of the whole thing, because of the whole being a veteran thing, and I know it must sound corny ass when I read the story, but it took a lot of my willpower to not tear up a little bit in front of my mom when I was reading the story. And whether the story is true or not, or maybe just a little exaggerated a bit at least, there was certainly photographic proof that Adam West, Burt Ward, and the poster and the poster's dad all took a photo together in the dad's hotel room on the guy's story's post. And given that Adam West himself was a veteran, and I could absolutely see him having a lot of respect for veterans that are older than him, I choose to believe it.
I didn't know he was a veteran.
Yeah.
Yeah, that reminds me of that panel in Superman.
Yeah.
When it's like the cop or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
And he says, like the park will be safe with what you know, being a hero. And
yeah.
All. And then Superman's like, no, there's two heroes here. And I'm like, okay, like I dig stuff like that. And especially because that's like, if that's true.
No, I mean, I believe it.
Yeah.
Because Adam West was.
He was like the, both as Batman.
Him and Burt Ward. There's no stories that I could even find of him being a dick to fans.
Yeah, and
there's stories of William Shatner being a dick.
Yeah.
There's stories of like almost like a lot of these people being just fucking assholes.
Everyone has a bad day, but like
it's weird how like Adam West was known in general, even while filming Batman, as being just a fucking stand up dude.
I've never heard anything bad about the guy.
No.
It's weird. Even if you could say if you want to be one of those people say, well, he had orgies and shit, I'm like, okay, and like what else? Yeah. Like,
but yeah, there's no stories about him
being like, racist, him being like homophobic or whatever.
He didn't
like,
snub
yeah.
people. He didn't like
yeah.
like talk shit to fans. Like he in general, like him and Burt Ward, and I have to include Burt Ward because they're like
they're the dynamic duo.
They really are. And so like stories like this, it's like it's nice when you hear like someone who had this much impact on popular culture didn't think they were above it. Like they didn't like. It wasn't a case of just like, I don't know, I'm signing autographs, fuck off. Like,
yeah.
like I'll take a picture with you, whatever. This was a case of just like, all right, yeah, it's like.
Oh. It reminds me of like Chris Evans.
Yeah.
Like, he's awesome.
Yeah.
I feel like he'd be that kind of guy, like, later in life where it's like, if he's not doing acting, because he says he doesn't want to act that much anymore, right?
He
said that a while back.
He said he wanted to direct a little bit more.
Yeah.
No, but I mean, he's generally nice when it comes to fans, too.
Yeah. I haven't heard anything bad about him.
But, like, for this to be the case in, like, an era before social media, and, like...
Where there wasn't anything at risk.
Because back then, you'd be a dick to fans, and then it becomes like a he said, she said thing.
Yeah.
But nowadays, it gets spread like wildfire.
Yeah.
Adam West was like, yeah, he was just a classy guy, and like, the city of LA fucking honored him because like, he was not only because it's like he was Batman important, but it's like because, in general, his presence and his like, his popularity and like just the kind of guy he was.
Yeah, like he to me, it's weird. I'm not a big Family Guy fan anymore. I used to be when I was younger, but. To me, he was always, like, a bright spot because he...
I enjoyed him in the episodes that I saw back then.
Yeah, yeah. But he was always, like, a bright spot because he...
Adam Wee? Yeah. Is someone stealing the water?
From my plants.
Yes.
No. He's such a funny... Like, it's weird to me because it's, like, he was able to, like, consistently... Even though, yeah, like... Oh, like, we're talking about him, Adam Westing himself and all that, like, The Grey Ghost, with the Batman show. Like, he's playing a washed-up actor that used to play a superhero, and he gets one last shot at actually being a real hero.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's an awesome... And I think he's one of the few people that Batman kind of says, like, oh, hey, I'm Batman, without really saying it.
Yeah.
Because he says, I was a big fan of The Grey Ghost when I was a kid.
Oh, yeah. I'm Batman. Bruce Wayne.
It's crazy to me that he's been able to consistently kind of stay in the public's eye without being like a fucking embarrassment to himself.
Yeah, there's never been a point where like Adam West was viewed as really washed up or anything because like I think
people just said like I wish he was doing other stuff.
It was all it also has a big deal with how he carried himself compared to like William Shatner at one point was like. In the 70s, was considered fucking washed up.
Yeah.
And then...
what was he doing? He wasn't doing
anything. But then T.J. Hooker came around. People were like, okay, yeah. And then the Star Trek movies came around. this happens to a lot where these iconic figures, they people say they're washed up.
Yeah.
But it also has to do a lot with themselves. Like, they act like sad pieces of shit who are, like, who are resentful and bitter.
It was like, everyone's kind of doing this now. I don't know if you noticed, like, the, I'm an old actor, and now I'm kind of crazy.
In real
life. It's like, but not crazy in a bad way. Crazy in a fun way.
Yeah.
Like, David Hasselhoff is kind of doing that now.
David Hasselhoff's a different story, because I feel like he's always been kind of like that. But he's always played zany and weird.
Yeah. Like, but, like, the whole, like, drunken, like, hamburger shit.
Oh, that really, yeah.
That kind of, I don't know if that kind of helped him or whatever. It's like.
Oh, no.
I feel like he tries to take himself a bit more seriously and doesn't try to, like ruin his own image, I guess. Oh,
no. But.
But a lot of actors now, they'll just, it's like, they don't give a shit. But
Adam West thing, it was like, he was just.
Yeah.
There was never this point where it's like you looked at Adam West and you're like, oh, poor guy, or like, oh man, he used to be somebody. It was like, oh, it's fucking Adam West. And it's really rare when there's an actor who can get to that point where you're like, it's that fucking guy. He like, it's awesome when you see these legends like embrace what they were made famous for, because a lot of them have this sort of chip on the shoulder of like, that's all I'm known for. This is bullshit. I'm worth more than this. But it's like when they embrace it, it's like, you know what? That's fucking awesome. It's like you're not resentful, and you don't come off as like just this asshole.
Like Christopher Reeve was like a stand up dude like his whole life and all that. Oh, I don't mean it like that.
Oh no,
I'm sorry.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
What a dick.
I didn't mean it like that.
What a dick. Send all your complaints to theobscuregentleman@gmail.com. For that one.
I'm so sorry. God damn it.
Obscure Gentleman fun, head over to www.theobscuregentleman.com. And if you'd like to help support this podcast and the webcomic, please visit www.patreon.com/theobscuregentleman. We thank you for listening.